Well, if you are new with us, we began a new series looking at the life of Jacob in the Old Testament book of Genesis last week. And so if you have your Bible, I would encourage you to turn to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. As you are finding that, I want to begin with a question for you, all right? Do you remember the last dream that you had? All right, do you remember the last dream that you had? A few weeks ago, I began to watch this new kind of covert CIA show, and I've been watching this late at night, and it's kind of causing me some issue. And so this has been a good program. You know, it's got all the spy stuff and all this thing. And so I'm trying to figure out, you know, who's good, who's bad, what angle are they coming from? But as I watch this late at night, I've been having, and I'm not making this up, multiple dreams related to this show. And so what happens in my dream, I find myself in some CIA plot. And one of my dreams, it was kind of, again, fuzzy and, you know, it wasn't all clear, but somehow I saved somebody's life. And I got to tell you, I was really proud of that. All right, I was really proud of that. I was the hero in my own dream. I had another dream after watching this show. Again, I'm not making this up. And it's one of those dreams that you have kind of right before you wake up. So like you're kind of awake, but not really. So all of this is playing out. And just something about that situation in this dream, I just didn't feel right. Something was not clear. I couldn't trust people. And so I carried that feeling with me when I woke up. And I was looking at my family a little different. Like, can I trust these people with my secrets? But then I realized I have no secrets of national interest, and so it didn't really matter, right? So I was good to go. So I'm debating whether I can keep watching this show or not. It's affecting my sleep patterns here, I guess. Now, according to the National Sleep Foundation, you may not know this, but each of us dreams typically 4 to 5 times per night. And with each of these dream episodes, they last somewhere between 15 to 40 minutes. Now, you might be inclined to push back on that a little bit and say, there is no way I dream that much because I don't remember 4 to 5 dreams I have each night. And the reason for that is because we forget around 95% of our dreams. But of the dreams we do remember, they're often strange, confusing, right? They don't always make a lot of sense. And sometimes those dreams are affected, like myself. You're watching that show or maybe you're reading that book. And so that happens. But I've also had examples, and I'm sure you have as well, where I dream because of some stress and anxiety and uncertainty in my life. Can you kind of relate to that? Maybe you have this stress and uncertainty, and so in your dream, you're falling or you're being chased. There was this one guy, I felt bad for him. He was sharing about how he had this dream of being chased by a human-sized pigeon. And I don't know what stress this guy was going through, but that sounds terrifying. And so again, you know, we can have these really crazy dreams, especially when we face things in our life that are difficult, right? And you kind of think, okay, why did I have this crazy dream? And then you think about what is taking place in your life. Well, as we continue in this series in the life of Jacob, he has this dream. And though he is facing a lot of stress and uncertainty and anxiety in his life, this dream that he has is from the Lord. It's actually not from his doing. And unlike the dreams we so often have that are because of a stress and uncertainty in our life, the Lord gives him this dream to give Jacob comfort and assurance. He wants him to be assured of his love. Now, as we looked at last week, the reason that Jacob is dealing with a lot of stress and anxiety in his life is because he deceived his father Isaac, and he stole the family blessing from his twin brother Esau. So what had taken place is that Isaac, his favorite son was Esau. Jacob was the favorite son of his mother, Rebecca. And so Isaac wanted to bless Esau. He thought he was about to die. And so he tells Esau, hey, go hunt some game, prepare a meal and come back and I will give you the blessing. Well, Rebecca hears this and she wants this blessing to go to her favorite son, Jacob. And so she kind of works on this scheme and Jacob goes into Isaac, who's old and can't really see, and they deceive him. And Jacob gets this blessing. Well, about as soon as he leaves the room, here comes Esau. He's got the food and everything. He's all excited. And then he finds out what happened, that his brother had deceived his father. And because of this, Esau is furious. And he makes this threat to kill Jacob. And so what happens is actually Isaac and Rebekah, they come together and they say, hey, your brother needs to cool off. We want you to go to your mother's side of the family, around 550 miles away, give some time for your brother to cool off. But they also wanted him to find a wife. Isaac, by this time, what we find in the first part of chapter 28 is kind of come around that Jacob was the one to receive this blessing. The Lord had actually told him about this when the boys were in the womb of his wife. He's now come around. He wants his son to go to his wife's side of the family and to get a wife. And this is where we pick up the story on this journey in chapter 28. Verse 10, chapter 28, verse 10. So again, Jacob is heading off on this long journey. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. Jacob is making his journey, again, this 550-mile journey. And as he is going, he literally has nothing, maybe just the staff in his hand. And so as the sun begins to go down, he's going to get some sleep. And so he takes this stone and he's going to use it as a pillow. And the reason that the author is drawing our attention to this is to just show how low of a situation that Jacob is in, just the plight of this situation. I mean, think about who Jacob is. He is the grandson of Abraham. Abraham, the Lord had chosen to bless Abraham in some really amazing ways, and Abraham was exceedingly wealthy. Isaac himself was extremely wealthy. And so Jacob should be living in that luxury. But instead, because of this deception, he has to run away. And at this low point in his life, he's using this stone for a pillow. But it's in the midst of this low place that Jacob finds himself in that the Lord visits Jacob. Look at verse 12. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway or a ladder resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. In this dream that Jacob has, he sees this, what some translations call a ladder or a stairway, or might call them steps. And this stairway is reaching from heaven to earth. And some pretty fascinating things are taking place as these angels are going up and down on this ladder, up and down on these steps. And at the very top is the Lord himself. And in verse 13, God tells Jacob that he says this, I am the Lord God. He says, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, this is me. And then God makes it clear after he reveals who he is, he gives these amazing I will statements. He tells Jacob, I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. Jacob at this time had no descendants. He had no wife. He had no children. But he says, your descendants will be numerous and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. The Lord continues and says, I am with you. I will watch over you. I will bring you back. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. I mean, this is absolutely amazing. The God who had visited Abraham and gave this really almost exact same blessing, who had given it to Isaac, is now giving this to Jacob. Jacob, this deceiver. Jacob, his entire life had just been scheming and all these different things, but yet the Lord goes to him, and because he has placed his love on him, he will not leave Jacob. And he gives him these statements. I will give you. I will be with you. I will keep you. I will bring you back. I will not leave you. I will do what I promise. Jacob, at this low point in his life, at this crossroad that he has found himself in his life, these are the promises that God gives him. And what we can draw from this and apply to ourselves is that those whom God has placed his love, he will never leave you. Amen. And more than that, those whom he has placed his love, he will pursue you. Jacob is a man on the run. No desire for the Lord, but yet because God loved him and placed his love on him, he is going after Jacob. And he says, I will give you, I will be with you, I will never leave you. Where are you at today in your relationship with God? Do you find yourself at a low point in your life? Do you find yourself at some crossroad? It may be because of a job loss or what's taking place out there with the economy and all of the job situations right now. It may be a wayward child. It may be a loss of a loved one. And you are wondering, does God still love me? Can I trust in the promises of God? And yes, these were unique promises given to Jacob, but yet we can still apply them to our lives. If you look at the screen, I want to go through some of this. You might write these passages down. You might take a quick picture. Again, if you find yourself at a low point, at a crossroad in your faith journey, hear these words. Let them ring in your ears today. That God, your creator God, your sustainer God, has placed his love on you. And he says this, he says, I will give you. He says, I will one day give you the new heaven and the new earth. Do you ever get tired of the brokenness of our world? Just the mess that is out there. It's temporary. As Christians, we are to live with the hope that this world, the way it is, will not last forever, but one day it will be renewed, made new, a new heaven, a new earth. We have this promise found in Matthew chapter 28 that the Lord, he says, I will be with you. I will be with you until the end of the age. He will never leave you alone. We find this in the New Testament book of Jude. The Lord says, I will keep you. He will keep you from stumbling and falling away. If it were just up to us, we would fall away from our faith. But the Lord has you. He is holding fast to you so that you will never stumble and fall away. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the Lord says, I will bring you back. He says, after you've suffered a little while in this life, and all of us to some degree or another will suffer in this life, do not be surprised by that. But yet the Lord says, I will restore you. I will confirm you. I will strengthen you. I will establish you. And so if you feel weak today, the Lord will take you in his arms and he will make you strong. He will establish you for all time and eternity. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, we find this, that the Lord says, I will not leave you. He says, I will not leave you or forsake you. And then in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, I will do what I promise. What will he promise? He says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Through all the ups and downs that we have in our faith journey, and sometimes we wonder, does God still love me? Is he still holding on to me? Is he still working in my life to grow me more into the image of Jesus, right? Sometimes we move forward, but then we take a step back. The Lord is saying, I will bring you to completion. You are secure in my love. And so you are to trust in these promises. Again, if you find yourself at that low point, especially, or that crossroad, trust in these promises of God. That if you have crossed that line of faith, you are now God's child. You are secure in his love, and he will never remove that. Praise God for those assurances. Now, as we continue, we find Jacob's response to what he's just seen and heard. And Jacob, this guy, I mean, he's got a lot to learn. He's kind of a mixed bag here, but he starts off pretty good. Look at verse 16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. It is the gate of heaven. Verse 18, early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, and though the city used to be called Luz. So after experiencing this dream, Jacob, he awakes and he says to himself, this is just an amazing place. He says, this is actually an awesome thing that has happened. And so he takes that stone and he pours some oil on it to kind of memorialize what happened. And then he renames the place Bethel. That means house of God. And this would become a very prominent place for Jacob's family and the nation of Israel. But again, like us, Jacob's a bit of a mixed bag. And though he is in awe of what happened and he worships God, And he sets up this pillar and even renames the place. He puts some conditions on the promises that God gave him. Look at verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give you back a tenth. You kind of want to be like, really, Jacob? I mean, you're running away. You've just deceived your father and your brother. And the Lord comes to you in this dramatic way. And this is your response. And again, he puts conditions. He says this, if God will be with me, then I'll give this to the Lord. Right? If God does this, then I will do that. But you know, we're just like Jacob. We can take these promises of God, our relationship with God, and we can put conditions on it. I can remember as a kid, I was around 12 years old or something like that, and we're sitting around this campfire with other people from our church, and I can't exactly remember the conversation, but I do remember making this conditional pledge to God, that God, if you give me this, and I can't even remember what it was. I'm sure it was something important like, you know, this girl noticed me or passed a test or something like that. But anyway, I made this thing, Lord, if you do this, then I'm yours, right? Maybe you've done that as a kid. But I didn't just do it as a kid. I've done it as a teenager. I've done it as an adult. And I'm sure you have as well, right? We put conditions on God. That God, if you will give me a spouse, I'm yours. Lord, if you fix my marriage, I'm yours. God, if you heal me of this health issues, I will never do that thing again. Lord, if I pass the test, if I get the job. I want you to fill in a blank that maybe you're struggling with right now, that you're saying to God, God, if you do this, then I'll do that for you. This is what Jacob does. He makes this conditional vow to God. But he shouldn't have done that. He had heard the stories of Abraham, his grandfather, and how the Lord had been faithful. He had seen it in the life of his own father, Isaac, and now God revealing himself in this amazing way, he should have just fully trusted, but he doesn't. But here's my encouragement to each of you when it comes to trusting God, when it comes to trusting in the promises of God. We may not realize it, but we are actually in a better position than Jacob. And the reason that we are in a better position than even Jacob is because we are on this side of the cross of Jesus. I want to show you a connection made between this passage and one found in the Gospel of John. You can turn there if you like. It'll be on the screen. But John chapter 1. And what takes place is that Jesus is kind of revealing himself to different people. He's talking to different people. And this guy named Philip, right, he goes to his buddy Nathanael and he tells him, we looked at this a few weeks ago. He says, we have found the Messiah. And when Nathanael hears this, he says, really? Because the way that Philip phrased it, he says, we found the Messiah. He's from Nazareth. And Nathanael's like, there is nothing good that can come from that place. And how does Philip respond? He says, come and see. And as we pick up the story in verse 47 of John chapter 1, we find this. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. What takes place is Nathanael is floored that Jesus, by his supernatural powers, could see Nathanael under this fig tree just kind of hanging out. But as Jesus continues in this conversation with Nathanael, he basically says, you've seen nothing yet. Because in verse 50, Jesus says this, you believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What's Jesus getting at? He's connecting this story with Jacob to what he is telling Nathanael. And Nathanael, being this Jewish guy, he would have known this story so well. What Jesus is saying is he is the ladder. He is the stairway. He is the connection between God and humankind, between heaven and earth. But here's what we need to understand. Jesus is not the stairway that he puts in place so that we can make our way to God and try to earn God's favor. No, what takes place is Jesus descends to this earth. Jesus comes down and he lives among us and he goes to the cross for you. Because Jesus has placed his love on you, he places his sin on himself. As one author puts it, he says, the very one Jesus who descends will descend even further at the cross, and he will experience all that sin deserves. Because Jesus loves you. He placed your sin on himself at the cross. And as Jesus died on the cross and descended into the tomb, he didn't stay there, but he rose. And because Jesus rose, because he ascended, we can trust in the promises of God. You can trust in God's love. That if God would not give up his son, but gave him for you, you can trust him. If Jesus is alive today, and he is, you can know that he is ruling and reigning and he is interceding and praying for you today. He is still working for you. And so if you are doubting the promises of God, look to the cross. If you're wondering, can you trust that God is faithful? Look to the empty tomb that Jesus is alive today. Do you see how much God loves you? Do you see how committed Jesus is to you? That he would take on your sin so that you could be part of God's family. I want to ask you, have you crossed over that line of faith? Right? Have you made that decision to trust Jesus? If you have not, why not? Do you see how much Christ loves you? He is extending his hand to you saying, follow me, be secure in my love. And for you, if you've crossed that line of faith, do you see how much God loves you? That you are secure in his love, that you can trust in his promises, that when you reach those low moments in your life, that crossroad in your faith journey, you go to the cross, you go to the tomb, and you have confidence in who the Lord is. Trust the Lord. He loves you. He's placed his love on you. Continue to follow him and rest in his amazing love and grace. Please bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. I want to give us some time to reflect. You know, life is always busy, I think especially in May. I mean, there's school activities, graduations, all the stuff. And we can rush in here, right? Get to church, and that's wonderful. But sometimes we just need to kind of take a moment and pause. So I want to do that now. I want you to reflect on your journey with the Lord. Are you maybe similar to Jacob in that you find yourself at his crossroad, and maybe it's because of some hard situations? It may be that you've put yourself there like Jacob because of some poor life decisions. But know that even there, the Lord is with you. The Lord has placed his love on you. He's pursuing you. That unrest that you may have in your spirit, that is the Lord not wanting you to get comfortable going away from him, to get comfortable in your sin. Would you turn to the Lord? Maybe you find yourself like Jacob, kind of having this transaction type relationship. Lord, if you do this, then I'll do that for you. That's an exhausting way to live. Because when you live that way, you're never quite sure, does God love me? Does he accept me? Are we good? Instead, trust in his love. Lean into his care and his grace. And if you are not yet a follower of Jesus, would you make that decision today to step over that line of faith? What we mean by that is you repent. You turn from your sin, your life of running from the Lord, and begin to follow Christ Jesus. That you put your trust, your reliance in who Christ is, that he lived, he died, he was buried, he rose. If that is you, we would love to talk with you today, either now in this invitation song here in a moment or after the service. Reflect on God's love. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your kindness, your grace, your love. Lord, we know the struggle always set before us, Lord, is will we continue to love you or continue to trust you? Lord, we thank you that we are held fast by you, that, Lord, you have us. But Lord, also help us to cling to you, to trust you more. Lord, if there's anyone here questioning your love for them, Lord, would they look to the cross? Would they look to, Lord Jesus, your amazing love poured out for them? Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're alive today. Lord Jesus, we praise you and we ask all in your name, Lord. Amen.